Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551 is our text number. Patrick Ryan. Patrick, good afternoon.
Hello.
The day the music died is what you called your email. What happened, Patrick?
Well, the day the music died, we didn't realise that we were breaking any rules or regulations. Mm-hmm. We were just three walkers here walking away. We came across an old tattoo radio. I sent you the picture. It was an old broken up old radio. We had it sitting on an old chair.
Because you work in a recycling centre where people drive in and throw stuff away.
And the speakers were sitting on a three-legged table.
Mm-hmm.
And we played the music. It was basically played for a laugh between the three of us.
Okay.
It was a way of passing the day, and like we got a lot of fun out of it.
And can any members of the public hear the music?
Oh, they can hear the music, but they don't. Their footfall is what would it be? People that come in here 2 minutes max, and they're gone back out the door. When they drive in, they have their own source of music.
So, and when they drive in, they're coming in with what, bottles and tin cans?
Bottles and jars and cardboard and paper and stuff like that.
Okay.
But they just drop it in and they're gone straight back out. They're not in to listen to the music.
Well, do you think you get more customers because of the music?
No, well, since the music stopped in November, we have more customers than ever.
Well,
they probably didn't like our choice of music.
So the three of you working there found a battered old radio come CD player.
Radio, yeah.
Put it on a
and
chair.
We just played it away.
Is this in the open air?
It's outside the door of the place,
For
yourself. But as I said, we didn't realise we were breaking any rules because, like, we always had radios in the job as such, you know.
Mm.
The inspector just came down one day in November and he said, get that thing off. And we asked, was he winding us up? Because it sounded ridiculous. It sounded like he was having a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, I'm very serious. He says, we've been taking the cord and we don't unplug it and stop playing it. I haven't played since.
And been taking the cord by who?
By Imro. I never heard of Imro until that day. I thought it was a joke.
Well, they collect money on behalf of writers and composers and musicians,
which is the right thing to do if you're running a business or if it's enhancing your business or bringing in extra money. But like we were just three blokes listening to the radio.
And I don't know which recycling centre you're in. I go to the one in North Strand. There's nothing but noise. Bottles going into the bottle banks.
The bottles is going in all the time. It was just a thing for us just to drown out the noise of the bottles and the compactors and things like that, you know. But it was a great source of fun as well because we'd find the old CDs that was dumped and we'd pick the worst sort of music you'd ever imagined. We'd get our choice of music, we'd play it, and people just had to listen to it, you know. So, like, we had one fella here, he was a big Joe Dolan fan and he just played Joe Dolan all the time. And, like, the other two wasn't, especially myself, we weren't Joe Dolan fans.
But
so he'd be going around the place during the week saying, did anybody see me Joe Dolan CD? Because he can't listen, you know.
But you're adamant that the music has nothing to do with creating an atmosphere in an open-air recycling centre.
No, that was just done for ourselves. You know, like, the music is off now and the people is building up and it's building up, you know.
But the business is still going as strong as ever. That's
the business
your point.
Is going strong. Well, it's non-profit. It's just a service, you know.
But just... So there's three.
It's just a service.
If there's three people in a house listen to a radio, they don't have to pay Imro.
No,
they don't have to pay anyone.
No. But having said that, like when the other two had their choice of music, to be only one listening to the radio, because the other two be gone away from it. You know, because it was done as a source of fun just to annoy each other, not to annoy each other, but just part of the day.
A bit of crack.
Like, that's all it was. It was just fun and a bit of crack.
Yeah, but does that mean people who... Say the three of you start listening on your earphones.
But see, you couldn't listen on earphones because you have to be totally aware of the customer and you have to be in communication with the customer all day. You have to, you couldn't have earphones because health and safety.
Yeah, of course, I understand
you have to be totally aware of your surroundings. Yeah.
And did you say to your inspector, listen, can we not argue this one?
No. Once the job, like, I'm near me 40 years service in the job, and the last thing I wanted was confrontation with the job. So we just closed it down, you know, and didn't have any more to say about it.
And you just entertain each other at this stage?
But we didn't want any you know, grievance with the job. The job said close it down, so we complied with the job. The job is our boss, you know.
But that is the law.
Unfortunately,
Imra,
it's the law.
By the law.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the law, but, you know, in our case, it was just three people listening to the radio. I know other people could hear it elsewhere, you know. So it could mean, like, you're sitting in your house in the middle of summer and you listen to your radio and
you
open up.
So you got a radio, you got a good quality, well, it worked anyway, radio comes CD player abandoned in your recycling centre.
No, well, the tape deck wasn't working.
Okay.
You could hardly get the stations. And once you got the settings all right, nobody could touch it. You just switched it on and off. Yeah. Because if you touch the settings, you'd never get it again.
Have you ever got anything valuable into your recycling centre?
No. Only the war colleagues.
And
I have to say that about them.
And they're priceless.
Yes. Most people who come to the Bring Centres are priceless, because 99% of the people who come here, they're all really good, happy, you know, go-lucky people. They're really brilliant.
Declan, what happened? Stay there, Patrick. Declan, what happened in your case?
So, Joe, I have a barber shop on the north side of Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been paying Imro for the last 12, 14 years. And then suddenly 2 years ago, they introduced this extra payment. They call it PPI. You know, when you're not in the business, you don't understand what you're paying for. You're just paying for the right to play music. That's fine by me. I displayed the sticker, I paid the bill, and then came the second bill, which I disputed a little bit, because my bill was going up to about €600. It's a small shop, 400 square feet, maybe four barber chairs in it. But with the bill comes the letterhead of Imro. And on the bottom right-hand corner, there's a list of 12 board members. I don't know what type of staff they have. I'm not sure if the percentage of the money goes to the artist. I think it's 10%. I could be wrong. Where's the rest of the money going?
Well, they say after administration, I think it's about 25 staff, after administration, as far as I can see, after administration, all the money goes to performers and artists. It's a not-for-profit company. Now, the reason when another, I think it was a florist, mentioned the PPI yesterday to Imro, Imro said, well, then you mustn't have been, there were two separate bills originally, apparently, and they said, well, you mustn't have been paying your PPI.
No, there were never two separate bills. It was always the one bill. The guy used to call out to the shop, he'd have a look around. Nice guy. He called out every year. He assessed, you know, the situation, and the bill was the bill. And then suddenly this PPI thing came in, an extra bill.
Well, they say that was always there, except Imro a few years ago took up the job of collecting it.
Well, maybe it was combined in the Imro fee, I don't know, but it was the first I heard about it until 2 years ago. But, I mean, all those €400, €500, €600 euro bills for shops, restaurants, cafes, so on, I mean, it's a lot of money, Joe. I mean, considering the rates bill is probably, where I am, is about €2,000 per year, and they're getting €600 out of me. That's a lot of money. And, I mean, if it's been spread out evenly amongst all the artists and the whatever else it goes to, they must be being paid a lot of money.
Well, there's a lot of artists. And by the way, I presume you take the VAT hike hit as well?
Absolutely, yeah. It went from 9 to 13%, 13.5%, a 50% increase. And as rents go up and everything is going up, and customers don't like that. You know, they're struggling enough as it is, and you have to increase your prices to keep the machine going, and it's tough.
Okay, I think that's the frame to put it in. No, nobody objects paying for music, but it's just the price of things seem to. Anyway, you say you were unaware of the PPI until a couple of years ago.
Absolutely.
Okay. Patrick, Ryan and Declan, thanks indeed.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
People want to talk about music and paying for it. Farah Massimi. Farah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Music in restaurants.
Yes. Now, I'm almost, there's about 6 or 7 restaurants that I stopped going because of music. If you're going up to a restaurant with your friends, you won't talk, chat, gossip, politics, whatever, because you want to meet them, you want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And then you keep screaming at each other. Kind of, half of the time you say, sorry, what did you say? Oh, what did I say? I mean, please, food is important. It's one of the pleasures in life.
Yeah.
So is music. But there is time and place for everything. And especially when you go to this restaurant, it's screaming music. It's not even a kind of national concert hall music. It's screaming music. Okay.
But Farah, can you not say to the proprietors, can you lower the music? Or?
You know what I've been told?
What?
The answer was, nobody's complaining.
Except you, Farah. That's what they say.
Yeah, but don't I pay the bill like everybody else?
Yeah. And where are you from originally, Farah?
From Rome. Okay. And in Rome, we take food seriously, all of Europe.
Yeah.
You go to France, you go to Italy, you go to anywhere. The rest, if they have a little bit, it'll be so low that you can hardly notice there. But there's no music because you go to... Look, there's time and place for everything. You go to church to pray. You go to a jazz club to listen to jazz. Right? You go to a restaurant to meet your friends, have a good night, a chat. How can you chat when you're screaming?
Well, you see, one of the arguments that IMRO have is that why they charge if you have a radio in a restaurant is that they say the evidence is that music enhances the customer experience.
Well, I don't know what customer they're talking about. Listen, I was recently somebody's friend.
Well, he said otherwise.
There were about six people, and four of them, right?
Yeah.
They don't go to restaurants well, like me, because they can't enjoy food. You can't scream at each other. You know, food is important. Friendship, connecting is important. You can't scream at each other for the whole night, and then you can say the same thing. What did you say? What did you say? You know, it's like ping pong.
And what about music in shops and supermarkets and hairdressers?
Gone. I'm gone too.
You're gone again.
Yeah. No. The hairdresser that I go don't have music.
Okay.
Which is peace and quiet. But see, why do you want music when you're going to chat with people?
Well, because music, as you well know from Italy.
Yeah, I love music.
Yes.
Time and place. Especially then you get this dancer say, oh, nobody else is complaining. You know, who am I? Nobody?
Well, if they put on Puccini, Celine Bourne doing Madame Butterfly, would that make a difference?
Yeah, but low.
Okay, stay there, Farah. 51551 Betty is in Malahide. Betty, you love music in restaurants.
I do, yes.
Okay.
I like music and the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So your point is?
Well, I was listening to that chap yesterday about, you know, going into the little restaurants and all and telling them to turn off the radio.
Well, pay IMRO or get rid of the radio.
Yeah, well, come here. If you pay your licence, Joe, you should be able to listen to your radio. It's getting now that we probably have IMRO standing outside your kitchen if you're singing while you're making your dinner, telling you can't sing that song.
Well, they can't.
You know, it's getting...
Well,
they're taxing us on everything.
Well, did you know that each... remember, this was generated by a call from a small cafe who said, we can't afford the bill to pay to IMRO. But it seems most people were unaware. Of course, when they knew the radio stations pay the artists to play their music, obviously, but they didn't know that if you turn on a radio in a hairdresser, no matter how small, you also have to pay. And even if you have talk radio on all day, even if there's no music, you still have to pay IMRO. Under the law.
I think that's ridiculous. But coming back to the music, the artist here doesn't have to pay tax, do they?
Musicians, yeah.
They're using them too.
Well, they pay tax on tickets and records and artist exemption, yeah. You could be right, actually.
You know what I mean?
But I think the argument not be that... The argument would be that most artists in Ireland don't make a lot of money.
I'd say they make enough. They probably make more than I do anyway for my singing.
And the small business, the point was made, well, they're all small businesses, but the people that were complaining are small businesses.
There was one lady on yesterday, she only opened up a shop.
Yeah, by the way, I'm looking at, well done, Betty, I'm looking at the revenue thing. Revenue can make determinations in respect of artistic works for artist exemption books or other forms of writing, plays, musical compositions, paintings or similar pictures and sculptures.
Yes.
So it looks like you can if you're a band or whatever and you're writing your music.
Yes, and buskers are run off the street.
They need a licence as well, don't they, from Dublin City Council?
Yeah, but that's what I mean, to get run off, you know what I mean? But I think we're getting taxed up to the hilt here now on everything. And, you know, leave the radios alone.
OK, Tom is in Kerry. Tom.
Hello, Joe.
What do you run, Tom?
A rural pub, an endangered species.
I know that.
Now, my contribution to the following is that picture the scene, like I'm there and I've a farmer and we'll say a fisherman. And there's no radio on. And he says to me, one of them says to me, turn on the 3 o'clock news there, I'm going to get the port fish. I'm going out in a boat and I'm going up the mountain after sheep. And I turn on the radio and the weather forecast come on, the boys want to listen to it. In the meantime, I go out the back and change in the keg or doing something.
Yeah.
I come back in and, for instance, Dan Donnell is singing a song, The Hills of Donegal. And in the meantime, a partner or a tourist or a visitor has come in. And he says, oh, that's a lovely song there. Where could I buy that? And I tell him, you'll probably buy it inside in any one of the towns and the shops. And there am I after doing a sale for Daniel O'Donnell, and I have to pay for the privilege.
And have Imro ever called to your bar?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, have they?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they say?
Oh, well, I have to pay up. But I have to pay for, that's my argument, I have to pay for the privilege of selling. If I had a CD, in other words, wouldn't I be delighted to hear you playing it? Instead of looking for money as well.
Well, people have to live. Like, I know you have to live as well. I'm taking...
They're out singing and good luck if they can't make it. Jeez, I have to live too and I'm nearly closed. And I have to do something about it. You know, that's still the age we live in nowadays.
But if you said to them, I only have the radio for myself, up on the shelf, because this is my home, my workplace.
It doesn't work, I'd say.
Once you have the radio there in the public area, no matter who can hear it.
It's been played in public, yeah. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. That's my contribution. I'm actually a salesman for these people, selling records for them.
Yeah, but they say now no one buys CDs anymore. They go to Spotify or download them or...
But go to Spotify and get the money off them.
Yeah, the amount they get from Spotify is pitiful, apparently.
Oh, they stick us for a stint.
And how tight are things in your pub?
That's pretty tight now, yeah.
And is
big change, big changes there.
Well, what about the drink driving laws? Have they affected
desperate.
You? Desperate. Are you serious?
Yeah, desperate. No one's coming out. Terrified. Living in fear.
And is it true these stories of checkpoints the following morning?
Yeah.
In your locality?
Oh, yeah.
But is that, not for you, but is it not good news that people aren't drinking and driving?
Well, okay, it had to stop. It had to be controlled a bit, a good bit. But, like, it's gone overboard altogether. I mean, there's other dangers in cars that are overlooked. For instance, having a cup of tea, cup of coffee inside in the car, with a cup holder in the design of the car. If you were to shoot on the brakes with a cup of coffee in your hand, what happened?
Yeah, but Tom, sure, most traffic in the cities...
The cities, different ballgame altogether, Joe.
Because you're not moving.
We're down the country now here, I remember that.
Excuse me, I actually was stopped by the guard once because I was eating a sandwich in the car.
What did they say to you, Farah?
Oh, he stopped me. He was in Civis.
Yeah.
And you thought I was the biggest dealer for drugs in the whole world. He stopped the whole traffic to get me out.
And was he in a car or motorbike?
Yeah, and he stopped right in front of me. I nearly crashed into him.
And did he put the lights on, Nina?
He did the whole work. And he said that I was eating a sandwich. And the funny, if anybody of my friends hear this radio, they laugh because they know I never eat those things. But I worked throughout the night, and I was feeling so weak that I thought I better eat something. Otherwise, you know, at night time, you know, when you in the car, you're really hungry. You know, you're weak and everything. And he stopped because he said I was a danger to the traffic because I was eating a sandwich. And actually, as it happened, I was stopped. I only eat the sandwich when I was stopped at a traffic light, naturally. Because I had, you know, how do you change the gear otherwise, you know, one hand or the wheel. You know. And, I tell you, it was on Borrowborough Street Road, whatever it is. I was coming back from the airport and I was stopped. I mean, I'm sure everybody was watching me say, she's a big dealer there. I was eating a sandwich.
And what type of sandwich was it? Do you remember? Chicken. You knocked the stuffing out of you. Anyway, stay there, Farah. Tom, do you think eating a sandwich... People think your point about a cup of tea or a coffee in a car, Tom, doesn't hold, doesn't at all equate with... You said there's worse things than drink driving.
Well, okay, but it's still a thing that could
be... A distraction.
Can you imagine what happens when you slap on the brakes with a cup of coffee in your hand? Where does it land?
Oh, I know, God.
Yeah, it does.
But do people not have those lids on them with the little apertures so you don't spill any?
Okay.
Tom, I'm much...
No, I take your point.
But Tom, given that everything you hear, wasn't that survey last year about the Irish pub, the endangered species, and... The point, I know it was done by the vintners, but isn't it one of the main reasons that tourists come to Ireland is because of the small Irish pub like your own?
Ask any of them going back what was their best experience in the country. Is the rural pub.
Exactly. So
we're killing it. But you know what? Do you know that we as vintners got licensed to control the consumption of poteen because they were gone mad from poteen way back.
Mm-hmm.
And they got them out of the houses into a controlled area.
Environment, yeah.
What do we do now? You went to a house and before you got a cup of tea, we know you got a glass of wine. They're drinking at home now.
You think a lot more...
Pushed it back into where it started.
And you know you'll drink more at home than you'd ever...
No measure, no control, no closing time.
Yes. And drinking at home is cheaper as well, isn't it, Tom?
Much is cheaper.
In the main.
That's another thing, you see. You won't get the media to criticise the availability of alcohol in supermarkets because, for instance, the newspapers. You open any newspapers on a Sunday and you have two pages from one supermarket, the next page is another supermarket, and they're all getting revenue. And the thing is, if the media criticise...
And there is
supermarkets.
There is a price war in alcohol at the minute, isn't there?
It has
been for
many years. Yeah, but nobody's criticising that or saying a word about it because they'll pull the ads.
Yeah, but you see, Tom, I don't know whether you saw the ads this week. They're selling a bottle of Paddy, I think, in Super Value, bottle of Paddy whiskey for 18 quid.
Yeah.
Right? Now, can you go in and buy that and put it in your bar?
I don't think so. You probably could if you've got a vet decker with it, yeah.
But you have to...
I'm not sure.
But I thought there was about 18 quid tax on a bottle of whiskey.
But
anyway.
There is, yeah.
So how
I couldn't buy that for it. Not a whole lot.
That's what I mean. So how are Super Value selling whiskey at 18? Good whiskey, by the way.
At 18 quid a bottle. I don't know. But there's no.
So my point is, much is a short in your bar,
which is a good price.
420. But a fella can go in and buy a bottle of whiskey
for 18 quid.
Which is basically four whiskies in a pub. And many measures are in a bottle of whiskey, about 20, 25.
About 20, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So he can be... Fellas are going to drink... Well, women as well. Are going to be at home, down the country, but they're going to be drinking more at home than they ever would in a bar.
This is it.
Okay. How long have you been in the business?
I'm born into it.
Okay. And was your...
And I'm nearly retired, so
Have you anyone to take it over?
I don't know yet.
Farah, would you be interested in moving down to Kerry?
Love to.
Would you? Yeah,
I'm there. How was the cat?
What's the cat, isn't
it? Tom got a television.
Tom, do you make good sandwiches in that bar?
Lovely sandwiches, lovely sandwiches. You don't have to go out driving, you can come in and sit down and eat them.
Anyway, listen, Joe, you can do anything. So just tell the rest of to stop. What was that song? Stop the music.
Turn it down a bit, please. Given that I'm after interrogating poor Tom there, got a seed breeding generation. When did you come to Ireland, Farah? Are we a born?
Before you were born.
Ah, what brought you here?
Holidays for 1 month at the University of UCD.
Fantastic.
Studied from my university in Rome. They do exchange.
Yeah.
And then I thought, this is yummy here. And I stayed. Not my mother or my father happy with it. But anyway.
Have they been to see you since?
Well, they died a long time ago. They were quite young when they died. No, my father came twice for rugby or something.
Okay.
My mother never did because she said I hate Ireland because she took you away from me. So that was it.
Well, and have you family yourself here now, Farah?
No.
Okay.
Actually, I did have a companion, but he just died a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Not at all.
Happens. Happens. You're right. And was he Irish?
Yeah, he was from the north, Belfast.
Okay.
But he worked here as well.
But you're Irish now. You're Irish now, Farah.
Sorry, I stay Roman.
Oh, do you say Roman? Okay.
Not European, just Roman. Sorry about that. I'm in Syria because I love this country. I'll tell you one thing, Joe. The Irish should get on their knees and thank what's happening here in this country. The style of life, the quality of life, everything.
The community.
Everybody that says Rome, they should go there for a month working. Yeah. And then they know what it's, you know, what it's all about.
Okay. But a true...
There's so much complaints here about this and the other.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But Farah, a true Roman would never be caught eating a sandwich.
Yes, when you walk through the night, you have no food, I can tell you.
Tom, have you family down there?
Yeah.
And will one of them take over the bar?
Hopefully.
Okay.
But they need something with it, no way. Because I wouldn't even make the minimum wage, for God's sake. I was thinking of suing myself, you know, for not paying the minimum wage. Could you do that?
Good point.
Things are so crazy, you know, you could do anything.
Well, another number of small businesses yesterday talking about Imro, but they said they haven't paid themselves in years. But anyway, that's business. You have to meet your obligation, unfortunately. Farah, have you ever been in Kerry?
Yes, I did a fantastic tour, back in September with one of my... association, the Georgian Society, and it was fantastic. Because been in Kerry many times, but this time we were doing the real history, the monuments, the radio station there with the first connection to America. There's so much to see there.
Fantastic.
The village with Campbell Sharp there. It's amazing. There's so much to see.
Fantastic.
I'll tell you what, you could make a deal with the restaurant, make an offer, say, you can save to pay the rent and the music, and you can lower down the price of the main course or the starter.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Okay.
They will save money.
Okay.
People will go because they say, price is going down instead of going up, and everybody will be happy.
Okay. Tom, do you want to tell me what part of Kerry you're in?
I'm on the English Peninsula.
Okay, and what's your pub called?
All right, we'll leave it alone at that.
Okay.
That is the Iron Peninsula, isn't it?
The Dingle's beautiful. Dingle Peninsula's beautiful.
Oh, been there, but this we went to the Ivy one.
Okay. Are you the only pub in the village, Tom?
No. There's two more.
Okay. Listen, Tom, look after yourself.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for your contribution. And Farah, you look after yourself as well.
Thank you.
And if a guard gets crusty with you again over a sandwich, tell him it's not illegal and you're starving. Okay.
There's nothing you can do when they get something in their head, that's it. But anyway.
Okay. Thanks, Farah. And by the way,
these were the good old days when there was not so many drugs and things in the country.
Yeah, but did he give you penalty points?
No, there was no penalty either.
Okay, that's good.
Time ago. My speech 20 years ago.
Oh, okay, Farah Massini. Thanks, Massini. Thanks a million. Ciao. And Tom, Goramila Mahogat. Let me go to Lara Cooper. Lara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How you doing?
Good. You're in a taxi.
I am, yeah. I'm a taxi driver. I'm just wondering about, I've been following the Imro debate about their draconian, or seems like draconian methods of extracting money from it.
They're legal. They're entitled to the music under the law.
They're entitled to
the money under the law.
And artists
have to be paid.
I understand that. And in this world where it's more royalties and concert touring that's getting most of their income, it's just that I'm a taxi driver. I'm wondering now, when I'm driving my taxi, I have a fare in the car, and I have the radio on. Am I subject to...
Yes, you are.
Am I?
Imro collect Imro and they collect PPI. And under PPI, from the 1st of January 2019, for the public performance of sound recordings and broadcasts as background music in taxi cabs, that's what you have, is it?
Yeah.
You have to pay $78.78.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that before, Joe. Never heard of that.
And then if you're in a sound recordings and broadcast as background music in a bus or a coach, mm-hmm. which would be what, 10 times the size
of a taxi,
they pay 83.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. No, I was intrigued following the debate and I just cannot understand. So, basically, if I haven't got the radio on, what's the situation then?
Oh, if you have the if you have a radio in your car, in your taxi, you have to pay this.
Yeah. So basically, it's like paying the TV license or whatever, or the old radio license.
Yeah, but it's not. You can have a radio in your car without a license. You know that, or in your house.
I understand that. Yeah.
It's a television you need a license for.
Yeah. You used to have regular licenses.
Are taxi drivers aware that there's this fee now, annual tariff of 78.78?
No, never heard of it.
Will you pay
it? No, never even heard about it. It's just that when it was brought up, I thought it was intriguing to see. Are they going to pursue every, 10,000, 12,000 taxi drivers through the courts?
It could be more than 78.78 because it's liable to VAT at the appropriate rate.
Yeah,
that's my understanding. These are two documents here, which says Phonographic Performance Ireland for the public performance of sound recordings of background music in taxi cabs. As and from 1st of January 2019, taxis will have to pay 78.78 per annum plus VAT.
Yeah, well, try and pursue that if taxi drivers don't pay. Try and pursue that through the courts and send the sheriffs down to taxi drivers. I can't see that being very practical for IMRO, to be perfectly honest.
Well, all you need to do is take one case and then people will... Mm-hmm. Is that not...
Possibly.
Possibly.
It just seems to be a bit... They seem to pursue these people that haven't got money, you know? Struggling businesses.
They would argue that's not our problem. We're trying to collect money for people who haven't got money either.
Yeah, I don't know any taxi driver that's aware of this show.
Okay, well, there it is. We'll put it up on our Twitter feed or whatever. Unless it's... Mm-hmm. We got this off the PPI website, did we? Yeah, we did, yeah. Now, I don't... Yeah. It reads to me as if this is a new... It might not be new. We'd have to double-check that. It might not be new. How many taxis are there in the country now? 5,000?
Oh, there's more than that, you know. I think it's about 12,000, 15,000, something like that. You know,
Each one of them will have to pay 80 quid.
Yeah, that's a nice wage now for IMRO, isn't it?
Well, you see, they say we're not-for-profit organisation. After administration and whatever costs running the place, that's all distributed among performers. Musicians.
Yeah, but didn't somebody make a point earlier on the show that musicians are exempt from tax?
They are. I don't know if all musicians are. You'd have to apply for it, but I don't know if all musicians are. But that's what the revenue website said, yeah? That they're regarded as artists, which they are, of course. Some great artists in Ireland. Okay, Lard, keep driving.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Mind yourself. That's Lard Cooper. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Fergus Weenie produced. Ray Darcy is next.